This is Unqualified Parenting.
If you're looking for tips on parenting,
relationships,
self-care,
or just need someone to relate to,
you've come to the right place.
We may be unqualified,
but our info is anything but.
It's a show full of parenting failures,
parenting wins,
and some amazing guests.
I'm Jen, a full-time bio mom and part-time stepmom.
And I'm Cody, a dad who recently remarried and has full custody of his daughter.
And we're here to bring you our unique perspectives from our two very different blended families.
You want to know something that kids don't? You want to know an experience kids won't have nowadays? That like, all right, if you probably lived outside of the state of Utah, growing up as a teenager, in the early 90s, your schools had payphones, okay? And there were a lot of 1-900 numbers around back then. And we would dial like we'd be like, all right, try this, like 1-800, like big butt, you know? And so we dial it and like, wait, because you could just dial and no one knows and you didn't get in trouble. And it was a 1-800 number, so you didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And we like found one that worked.
What was it?
1-800 hot girl.
Oh.
So we would like call it up at like lunch and like listen to it and all just like bust up laughing. And like I still remember the intro. It'd go like, thank you for calling 1-800 hot girl, where it's so easy to stick it in. Your credit card, that is. We accept all major credit.
And then it would just go off on this like sales pitch. But that's
something kids today don't have because they just type boobs in Google and they get boobs.
Yep. It's right at their fingertips.
We had to like call and listen to some like cheesy sales thing.
Yep.
But that just wouldn't happen nowadays.
They'll never have to deal with a 3-inch floppy either.
Or wait in 10 minutes for an image to download.
I think I see a nipple.
I think I see a nipple. Oh, no. It's a wooden fence. Fuck.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been a month.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like the like month between episodes.
I do and I don't. I do because I don't have fucking time to do more than that right now.
She hates my guts.
So, yep. It's all I can handle, Cody. It's just one time a month. It's like a
period. That's what my wife
says. I don't remember what I was saying.
You do and you don't like the schedule.
Oh, yeah, because I've just been so busy with life, and I'm writing a book. I've now written over 200
pages. 200
pages, 200 folks. Pages, yes.
And this is coloring book?
Yep.
Honestly, still would be impressive.
It's a fantasy,
right?
Novel.
Like, honestly, that would still be impressive if it was a coloring book. Probably more so. Yeah, probably more so.
No.
You have to do art.
Yeah, but you have to create words and storylines and characters and backstories in a whole other world.
The words are in a dictionary. Pictures aren't in dictionaries.
They are.
It's in an encyclopedia.
But I like the break from having to do the work, but then I miss touching base and seeing like fans' reactions and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Speaking of, we're going to be releasing every episode the first Monday of every month.
Yeah.
That is the new schedule, the first Monday of every month.
Yeah, just stay subscribed. That's just the big thing there because you'll just get a notification. You don't have to worry about it. It'll just pop up one day. So if you're not subscribed,
make sure you
take
subscribe.
Care of that now. We'll give you just a little bit.
Apple users,
you can
review us.
Why are our numbers dropping? Fuck. People are unsubscribing.
No.
That's all right.
That's what you get.
So, what has happened over this last month?
Well, my daughter started pre-K at a new school.
That's crazy.
She's 4. It's terrifying because since she was an 8-month-old baby, her main caretaker has been the same person, my friend Dina. Same person, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week since she was 8 months old. And now she's at a new school with new teachers.
New kids.
New kids. She even called my friend's son like her brother. Like they refer to each other as brother and sister. So it's kind of sad and it's weird not seeing my friend every day. Like mm-hmm. even though we'd like sometimes it was literally like hi, bye. But just that interaction is yeah. gone now. It's weird.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Cool.
But she loves it.
Does she?
She loves her new school so much. She's already made friends. She has half day pre-K, half day extended day. She gets lunch there.
Man, I couldn't imagine. She's so sassy.
She is so sassy.
Like I can only imagine the type of teacher that would like, she would like totally listen to and just follow. I think any other teacher type, she'd just like, you'd be the kid that always argued, like, why can't we go to recess now? Well, we can't. Well, why not? Because the door's right there. It's open. You can open it.
You decide when recess is. Why not decide right
now? I mean, isn't this all just arbitrary? None of this matters till I'm in, like, ninth grade.
Yep, she is that
That'd
kid.
That'd be your kid.
Yeah. Actually, like, her second day, the extended day teacher said, you don't have to worry about her because she can hold her own. And I said, yeah, I know, but what'd she do? And I guess some boy tried to cut, like, in line and push her out of her spot, and she like got in his face and said, this is my place, and made him get in the back of the line. And I was like, yeah, get it, girl, you don't be pushed around, dumb boys.
It's good.
Yeah,
that's really good. Yeah, self-defense, man. Teach your kid how to punch.
Yeah. What's new with you?
Well, sent Aubrey to Arizona for a week so she could hang out with her grandparents.
And Aubrey's how old for new listeners?
She's 14, so she traveled unaccompanied for the first time.
Was she crying and terrified? Can I tell you,
the airline industry sucks a big butt right now.
Yeah.
Like a big, fat
I've been hearing.
Fucking butt.
Yeah.
So to book a ticket for an unaccompanied minor, you have to call. You can't just do it online.
Why? What century is this?
I think it's a stopgap to like limit people abducting children and taking them on trips. But
I guess
there is not one thing that happened over the phone that verified anything that I was saying any more than, I mean, probably more on the computer because my shit autofills, right? Yeah. And they can see it on their end that they got an autofill and it fills in. Like it was just weird, but. They charged me $150 each direction for her to be unaccompanied. So.
For her to be not with anyone?
The way I'm reading all this, right? Like the airline will make sure and the airline will do this. I'm like, oh, cool. So she'll have someone assigned to her. And that's what my $150 is paying for. Someone's going to be right there to go, what? What do you need? What do you need? I got, like, you know, make sure you get off the plane and go to where you go. So booking the ticket and they're like, look. You need to show up 2 hours early. You need to get in line to come to the desk because I have to get a gate pass because I'm not flying anywhere. I have to have a pass to get through security because I have to take her to the gate. Mm. So we get in line. Okay. We're probably about 2 hours, 15 minutes early, you know, before our flight, totally within the thing. Mm-hmm. We get in line. There's about 20 people in front of us. Right. And I'm like, Aubrey, this will go quick because some of these people are with other people here. Right.
Yeah.
The line didn't move for an hour.
Oh, geez.
And at this point, I'm fucking panicked because they have a 45 minute cutoff. And so I leave Aubrey in line. I duck out and I grab someone that's doing like the self check in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, she's traveling unaccompanied. I just need to fill out a form. It takes 5 minutes. I just need to fill it out. You print a gate pass. We're out. She hasn't missed her flight, but she will if we don't get that filled out now. And the lady just looks at the line and goes, well, that wouldn't be fair to anyone here, would it? And I said, lady, if you haven't been paying attention, everyone here except us has already missed their flights.
Yeah.
We're the one that can make it. That's less work.
Yeah.
And she just walked away. So I said,
oh, what a bitch.
Attention, everybody. Everyone turned around. I said, look. She hasn't missed her flight. We can still make it. I just need to fill out a form. It'll take 5 minutes. And everyone turned around and looked the other way. And we were in line as she missed her flight. And I'm telling her, hey, you got to call your grandparents and let them know because they live 2 hours away from their airport. And they we had to leave at like 4 a.m.
Oh, geez.
So I'm like, call them, let them know you missed it. So if they can turn around and get some sleep, whatever.
Yeah.
So she's crying on the phone.
Aww.
Like, I'm on the phone with the airline. Like, why the fuck wouldn't you prioritize someone that can still make their flight?
Yeah.
Because if I was in line and I had missed my flight and I didn't have anything to catch and someone said, hey, they can still make their flight, can they cut in line? I'd be like,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm literally going nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, I've been here for 20 hours.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, it pissed me off to no end. So we get to the ticket thing and we eventually get a flight 4.5 hours later.
Ugh.
So we like, I look at him like, look, we're not going home. We're staying at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
We've already gone through this. So we get through security and like hang out. We get some breakfast. And then we get to the gate and we wait around. And when I talked to the guy on the phone, he said that unaccompanied minors get seated first to make sure they get on. Their stuff gets put where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
It gets tagged properly, whatever. So we're waiting and they call first class. Then they call people with kids and like veterans. So I walk up to the gate. I'm like, I thought you were supposed to call unaccompanied minors first. And he goes, let me see. And I like give him the ticket. And he like types it in. She's not even in there as an unaccompanied minor. They have my $300, right? 150 each way. And he like types it in and he gets all done. He's like, all right, walk. And just like sends her down the thing. And he tells me like, you have to stay here till the flight's airborne.
Why?
And I said, like, well, who's helping her?
Yeah.
Oh, she'll find it. Well, then what the fuck is my $150 paying for?
Yeah.
Oh, we just take responsibility.
For
but
what?
You aren't doing anything. And then, like, her grandma had to be at the gate to get her right off the airplane. They don't even walk them. Like, they don't.
That's stupid.
It's fucking stupid.
That is dumb.
But she got there. She had a week. We had a week without kids.
Nice.
Where we were like, we're going to get everything done. But if you've ever been without your kids, you don't do anything. You just sit. Because you can do that stuff when they're home. You can't sit when they're home.
Unless you have a toddler,
mm-hmm.
You cannot get stuff done when they are home. We're specifically packing for our trip this Saturday when she's with my mom because she would just, are we leaving yet? Da-da-da-da. Don't forget my mini. Da-da-da-da. Like the whole time. So we're just going to send her to my mom and then she'll mm-hmm. come back and we'll say, oh, look.
It's all done.
Your stuff's packed.
That's smart.
Did you get my dress?
No. Nothing.
Nope. No dresses.
Get nothing.
Yeah, it's gonna be 50 degrees.
That's so it's be
all,
so
all
nice.
Winter stuff. Yeah, and we get a because we're going on an Alaskan cruise, and they go between the glaciers on one of the days.
That'd be cool.
In a fjord. I got you something.
Not a Toyota. No fjord. Oh, you got me some cigarette bubble gum.
And you blow so on gross. It, and smoke comes out.
We used to. I love telling these stories of when I was a kid because it literally makes me sound like fucking Huckleberry Finn. But it was like American Fork, Utah. It didn't feel like this. But growing up, there was a gas station down the street called the Thrifty Nickel. And it was all penny candy.
Mm.
So bottom row was all penny. Next row was all 5 cents. Next row was 10 cents.
There was an apothecary by me like that.
So, yeah, you could walk down there with, you know, $2 and walk out with a bag
yeah,
of candy.
Yeah,
and we'd get these, and they taste gross, but we always got them.
Because you can blow smoke.
And those nasty wax lips. Do you remember
those?
Oh,
yeah,
that,
I
like,
couldn't do those.
They don't have a flavor. It's just candle.
It's just lips.
It's just, yeah, we, ugh, all that nasty stuff.
Sixlets. Those were good.
As we'd walk down and jump over the creek and catch water skeeters on our way back. And paint a fence. Jen, something amazing has happened.
What?
Something that affects a lot of people.
What?
School is back in session.
Yes.
Congratulations, everybody. Everybody, we have made it. Good job. Woo! Yes, kids are back in school. They've got their bulletproof backpacks, which is fucking ridiculous that we're at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I was listening to a story about parents who got, like, bulletproof trapper keepers so that the kid can actually aim the bulletproof at the bullet.
Wow.
And here we are.
Yep.
But it means It means the start of a new year. And I thought about this and I thought, why do we do a New Year's resolution, but we don't do a school year's resolution? I read something that made me cry a little bit and was also like a giant gut punch at the same time. And it was about kids with ADD versus kids that are called neurotypical. So people without ADD.
Yeah.
Because Aubrey's ADD is really, really causing her to struggle. Mm-hmm. She's forgetting a lot, right? She's not getting a lot done. But at the same time, after reading this, like, I've just been perpetuating. Oh, my God. You give me these drinks and I become so gassy. But, yeah. So, I've kind of been perpetuating the things that would happen to me as a kid that made me feel like a piece of garbage. And I read this and I was like, man, like, if I can relate to this, then Aubrey can absolutely relate to this. And if she can relate to this, it means that I've perpetuated it.
Oh.
Is what it means, right?
Yeah.
Because if she's going through this, she couldn't go through this unless I was also part of the problem as a parent, right? Parent, part of the problem. So it was from this guy online. His name is Josh Weed. Weed. But he's a writer and therapist. And I'm not going to read the whole thread on Twitter. It's like 34 things. But it was really interesting. So it starts off, a message I want to share with adults who work with ADHD kids is, pushing them the way you push neurotypical kids harms them for life. Here's what I mean. When I start working clinically with an adult who has ADD, one of the first things I do is we start to map out their trauma history. And I don't mean like non-adjacent childhood traumas. I mean ADHD-specific childhood-based traumas that result from having ADD while growing up in a, you know, society for people who are neurotypical.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like really interesting because I never really thought about that. But like, and this is literally me. He says, as you can imagine, this is, you know, really hard stuff. Bright kids who are called lazy because they literally could not complete tasks the way teachers and parents wanted. Hyperactive kids watching their peers run and jump at recess while they're staring at a math worksheet. You know, or kids abused for not finishing chores or not doing things or forgetting whatever when their brains literally won't let them remember, you know, and it causes this feedback loop where, like, I remember being afraid to try anything, to start anything, because I knew that someone was going to be coming behind me telling me I wasn't fast enough, I wasn't doing it right, I was missing something, something wasn't right.
Yeah.
Because I was going to forget. Mm-hmm. And I always did forget. I had failing grades all through school, all through high school, everything. But I was picked for the gifted program. Like when I was in college, I was like Dean's List and Honor Society, and like because I was able to do it my way. And so I got thinking about like with Aubrey, and I mean, that's kind of been her entire education up to now has been, hey, come on. You've got to sit down. You've got to work on this. You've got to do it this way, right? Sit here with this and do it now. It doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't even work for me. It doesn't work for me at work. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like at work, in my job right now, I'm lucky to have ADD and be in the job that I'm in because I am pulled daily into six different random directions. But they all tie back to the central goal. So I never get to a point at work where my ADD part of my brain is just running loose, right? I'm always moved and triggered into something new and here's something and we got to do this and now we got to move. So like I'm lucky to be in that job where I can do that. But also like right now at my job, I don't really have a superior. It's just kind of me, which allowed me to kind of do things my way this last couple of weeks, and my department's running like a machine. That's awesome. So nice. But I can't enjoy that success if I'm not setting Aubrey up for that same success. And if I'm treating her the way that I was treated in school and growing up, then she's never going to get there.
I mean, that makes sense because I've told you about the NICU thing where it's, is it, I don't remember the first one. Is it niche? Like, is it new and like new, different?
Yeah,
it
was, no, I, yeah, new.
Interesting, challenging.
Challenging and
urgent.
Urgent.
So for her, the school is never going to hit niche, interesting, or challenging.
It might.
Maybe challenging.
It
maybe.
Might, it might hit all these, but
with
in the
how,
last half of the year.
Yeah.
Because then she has 3D modeling. She has like all these really cool classes. But you're right. This first half of the year, it's math, science, history, geography.
So until it's almost due, then she'll feel that sense of urgency and she'll probably just do it herself. But if she never feels that sense of urgency because she's constantly being pushed, then she'll never learn to do it herself.
Right. And it is like, because I have it and I struggle with it. I've struggled with it. I don't look at it as what it is. It's a disability. It is a recognized disability. When I apply for jobs, I have to put it down as a disability. Hmm. Because if I need an accommodation later and I didn't disclose it, my accommodation can take a lot longer to get to me.
Mm.
So you have to disclose it as a disability, and it's in the dropdown. It's there. And I don't think about that because I have it. Just like if Aubrey had one leg, do you think I would think of that as a disability?
No.
Or it'd be like, get your ass up.
Yeah.
Like, come on, right? Because we judge them based off us, which is so unfair.
Yeah.
But we do that.
Yeah.
So reading about this, like, he was bringing up like all these like phrases and stuff that I heard. You have so much potential if you just focus, if you could just direct all of your attention, if you could only find a way to like care.
Yeah.
You know, it basically, like, as a child, it makes you feel less than. I have potential, but I can't hit it. I'm stuck in class and I'm filling out a math worksheet and everybody else is literally outside playing.
Mm.
Everybody else had the same potential and they could hit it and I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So telling me that I have so much potential, but I can literally see the opposite, crushed me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do homework. I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't do anything. And so something's got to change. Something has got to change on my end. It won't change on her end because she's not where I am, right? Like, she hasn't gone as long as I have, right? She's
You've
just
had to
learning.
Learn your own system, and that might look different to her.
Exactly. And I've been trying to hold her to my system, right? Because I tell her, look, you can't, because the way I work is I don't hold myself accountable for anything except to a system. At work, I have a system. The system keeps me accountable because as long as I do the system, I just have to do one thing, and that's just check what's at the top of my list and just do that. And my system will organize it based on due date and priority and urgency, and my system just keeps me going, right? But that system doesn't work for her.
Yeah.
Right. So like when I sit down and have to like really, like I do a lot of extra work at night, let's say I have to like pump out some projects. I know I'm going to have a TV show on. It can't be anything I want to watch.
Yeah.
Right. Because then I'll just watch it. But it can't also be something I don't want to watch because then my brain will be like, come on, we've got to find something else. And this is literally my process. I have to find my show first. I have to know what this part is going to be before I can plan anything on this side of the table. That's my number one. Once that's figured out, my number two is snack. And this used to drive Mikkel crazy when we first met because I would do this with dinner. What are we watching? Okay, I'll go. Now that we've found it and spent 30 minutes finding it, I'll go get my food ready, which is going to take 30 minutes because now I got heated up.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, she's asleep. She's had dinner.
I don't like to eat till I have a show.
She's gone for a walk.
Sometimes too.
Yeah, because it's like, look, all my needs are being met.
Yeah,
I'm
winding
down. Except my
brain.
I just need, if something could just take this away and I could just. So I figured that out.
And if Aubrey were like, Dad, I have to find a TV show.
I'd be like,
I need a snack.
You'd
be
exactly.
Like, the fuck you
I'd
say
I'd be like,
to me?
No. You're failing your classes. The last thing you need is TV and a snack. Get your stuff done, right?
Yeah.
I'm just perpetuating the cycle that I'm giving myself the benefit of on the other end, but holding her hostage at the opposite.
Trusting them at this age to just get shit done is hard, though. So I right. can see why it's so difficult to just.
But
let
it's
go.
Also, if this is a disability, this is something she has to learn to live with.
Yeah, and it's better to learn now.
And she has to learn to live with the impending failure.
Yeah,
that comes.
That's going to happen.
I can't tell you how often I feel just failure just clawing at my back because I know I've procrastinated on 6 projects and they're all due at the same time, but I know I'm going to get them done.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull a fucking marathon all-nighter and I'm going to get done and feel like a superhero because I got it all done in like 10 hours, but I had 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
Why can't she do that?
Yeah. She needs that urgency if it's not interesting or challenging.
Right. So he goes on in this Twitter post and he talks about how a kid with ADD getting told all this stuff, you have so much potential if you weren't so lazy, right? You got these contradicting statements, right?
Yeah.
You got so much potential, you could be amazing, but you're also super lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause a lot of confusion, right? Because they might love the subject. They might love math. Mm-hmm. But their brain just can't help them forget schoolwork, right? And so now this kid who's constantly behind finally says, you know what? I'm actually going to sit down and do my homework, right? I like my teacher and I want my teacher to not be mad at me. Mm-hmm. And I really like the subject. So this kid sits down, does all of his homework, gets it all done, right? All mm-hmm. set up, ready to go. Wakes up in the morning, grabs his lunch, goes to school.
Forgets his homework.
Goes to turn it in and forgets it. Panics. Because he knows he did it this time.
Yeah.
Panicked.
Aww.
It's not in the bag. You're checking twice. Your teacher calls for it. And you say, I left it at home. I did it, but I left it. And the teacher goes, it's not going to work this time. Mm. That's the excuse you've used every time before. I'm just going to give you a 0. Mm. And now that kid... who everyone else goes, yeah, that's just him. He just doesn't do his work.
<He's> stupid.
he got sabotaged by his own brain.
Yeah.
And where was his homework? It was right next to where his lunch was. He set it down to grab his lunch bag and went right out the door.
Mm-hmm. I have a kind of step-parenting insight on a situation like this. Because my stepdaughter texted us and said, Dad, I needed that family photo. And now it's Sunday, and she's at her mom's house. So my husband was working on one of the rentals, so I said, I will run you the photo. So I found a family photo, and I took it to her. And in my mind, when I hear, like, oh, she waited till last minute, because she then tells me, oh, I have to print a paper, and we don't have a printer. And in my mind, if Steve were handling this situation, and he tells me, I have to print her a paper because she forgot, I would say, why the fuck didn't she tell you earlier? And what is she doing? Like, why isn't she more organized? Why doesn't she ever, like...
Why is her problem our problem?
Yeah, like, also, like, have her mom deal with it. Like, all these things. Because in my mind, I picture my stepdaughter being like, oh, by the way, I forgot this.
Yeah.
So, I need it.
Yeah, she's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
She, like, walks out and like, smashes a glass
exactly.
and farts and slams the door.
And that's how I picture it. But then when I dealt with it and saw her face to face, like, such remorse and such, like, I fucked up in her eyes. And, like, I could tell she's, like, trying to fix the problem and not ask me, but also kind of, like, knowing she's going to eventually ask me.
It's that fear of, like... I fuck up like this all the time.
Yeah.
And here we are again. And I can't expect my parents to like keep dealing with
yeah.
this.
Yeah. So I said like, well, now you go to the same school as my daughter, which is really cool. So my husband will bring you your paper tomorrow morning. You'll just have to get it right before school. And that's how it is.
Yeah.
So I did not cater to it where I, oh, let me just run and take care of it right now. But I did get it to her because I could see how bad she felt and how much fucking homework they have. It is ridiculous. It's the first week of school and she has a photo book with a paper printout that she had to write a paragraph about her special item. Like the first week of school.
So Aubrey had signed up for an AP class, AP Human Geography, because her last geography teacher was like, look, you're an amazing student. I think you do amazing at this class, which was like a huge self-confidence boost. Because again, ADD kid being told you're lazy, you're not getting your stuff done, to being told, I think you do really well in this college level course.
Yeah.
And so Aubrey,
and you wanna do well.
Aubrey really wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. She signed up for it and she had work that she had to do all summer and it never got done. Mm-hmm. And it never got done. And I kept putting pressure on her. You can't do this, right? You've got to get this done. And then I read this Twitter thread. And then I came to her and I said, look, we have to start being honest with ourselves and honest with our ability. And that's never a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I said, I know at work what projects I can take on, which projects I can't. Mm-hmm. Some of those that I can't, I want to, but I just know that my ability to get it done in time isn't there. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I'm going to self-sabotage at some point and I have to allow for that. And so I said, this is what I want you to do. You have a week until you have to like change classes. Make a plan and a schedule that week to study, right? Because the first week of class, they were taking a test on the countries of the world. I was like, see how far you can get in that week and like really put some effort into it. And I saw her really try and put effort into it. And the end of the week came by and I said, how are you doing on your class? And she goes, I haven't done anything. And I said, so let's be honest with ourselves. It's okay. You don't have to take an AP class, but let's be honest with ourselves. You had that week and we didn't get it done. So we're probably not going to do all the work that comes with the class.
Yeah.
And you don't have to take a college level class. You're in ninth grade.
Yeah.
I didn't take a college level class until I was in my 20s. Mm. Like you're 20. Yeah. And I had to like realize that like, no, that's absolutely okay. And this is actually a really good lesson that, yeah, you can have these, I don't know, these wants, these desires to do these great things. And it's okay to say, you know what? That's not me right now.
Yeah.
And there were no consequences.
Good. Cool. That's awesome.
All that's going to happen is you'll just take an appropriate level course.
Yeah.
You're totally fine. Which is really great.
Yeah.
So.
What is with the summer homework?
It's, yeah, it's dumb. It's stupid. I don't like it.
I mean, my stepdaughter's going into eighth grade. They had a math workbook.
Kids these days, they spend almost as much time as we do at school and in work, right?
But then they have homework.
Mandatory homework that they have to do.
And it's been proven that homework doesn't help them. It's been proven.
If you understand. Had a job where the first day they said, all right, you've been here for almost 8 hours. Here's 3 hours of reading you need to have done and 2 hours of coursework material. Plus, every other teacher you have today is going to do the same thing.
I would
every
quit
other boss,
that job.
Here's all your work.
So fast.
Not only that, but we're going to grade your work.
Yeah.
Fuck that out. But we force them to do this.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's dumb. So this guy goes on in this Twitter thread to kind of talk about, you know, ways that we can not perpetuate this and ways that we can kind of let our kids figure out kind of where they belong within their disability. And that's my school year's resolution this year. Is this year my focus, like it's the first year of high school, ninth grade. This is when things really start to count. Mm-hmm. But my goal is not grades. My goal is let's help her figure out a way to stay organized and let's find a system that's actually doable.
Yeah.
A system that actually works long term that she can do. That'll help her stay on top of her work. And if that includes pulling all-nighters to get shit done on time, that's what I did in college.
I mean, that's her. She's going to be tired the next day.
I mean,
it doesn't affect
we
you
all
one
did
bit.
We all did that in high school, right?
Yeah.
We all
I mean, I didn't, but I knew many people that did.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Because you're getting it done in time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be done when it's assigned to you. How often do you get your work done that's assigned to you the day it's assigned?
I'm an anomaly. You shouldn't ask me these questions.
My stuff goes at the bottom of a list and I get to it in a week.
I get it done like ASAP so that I can take the rest of the time off and not worry about it.
Yeah.
That's my mind.
Yeah.
Because then I worry about that's not done, that's not done, that's not done the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I am right now. I drink a lot. I drink a lot. But so he talks about some of the things and some of the ways that we can set up our children for success that have ADD. And he said, if your kid needs to have three different flavors of soda on the table while they do their work, because it gives their mind something to look forward to as they work through their problems, that's great. They're doing their work. If they need to have two types of candy, a sour and a chocolate, and they need to alternate them as they're doing their work because it keeps their mind, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If they need to get up and fidget while they watch a video that they have to do a report on, great.
Yeah.
If they have to pull an all-nighter the night before to get it done, that's okay. People with ADD, we thrive on that. Mm-hmm. Remember all those times when we worked together, we would be like, hey, Jen, we should throw this contest and launch it on Friday. And it was like Thursday morning.
Yeah, and I'd be like, fuck no. And
you'd
be like,
you'd tell me, that's all you. Yeah. Good luck. And I'd pull together like a sponsor. We'd have like stuff to give away from businesses. We'd have flyers, posts. I'd have a thing on a website. I'd have all this stuff done by like end of day Thursday.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But if you gave me an assignment to update like the fitment on the website for Toyotas, it would take me a month.
Yeah.
And it was less work than throwing together a contest.
Yes.
But it was fun.
Yeah, the contest's fun, right? But the fun. Toyota's fitment board.
Gave myself this, right? So that's what this year's resolution is going to be in our house, is going to be helping her figure out the ways for her to be successful. Understand that we all self-sabotage. We all do that.
Yeah.
Right? We all say, I'll go to the gym tomorrow. And that was 5 years ago. Right? We all do this stuff. And it's okay at their age to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, their brains are still mush like we talked about. And yes, they're crazy and they're all going to forget. But I'm approaching this is her disability, and her disability is not being able to remember and forget, not being able to focus. And that just needs an accommodation.
Yeah.
And so that's my school year's resolution this year, is we're going to find the accommodations that allow her to be as successful as she can. Successful just meaning organized and stuff turned in, right? Because I think grading kids on a letter grade scale is stupid. I think it should just be pass fail. You've learned everything. You meet all the requirements going through.
Yeah.
But so it's just this school year's resolution is just helping her stay organized, getting stuff turned in. So like we went and got school supplies yesterday. So I got her a planner. And it's the same planner I use at work. And it's got a month view. And then it's got, you open it up and you get a week.
But what if she doesn't ever use it?
And so we got her a whole bunch of gel pens, a big pack that was like $25 with all these colors. And I said, look, for your first week, you should have a goal at school. And it should be a really small, attainable goal. And I said, all that should be is at least once a day, open up that planner. And at least write down when something's due. Super attainable goal, right? You just have to remember, open it up, write something down, close it. Just get in the habit of just pulling it out, checking the date, just getting your mind into like the, okay, today is a day, and a day things have to be done. And so just try opening it up and putting something in there once a day, right? It's a goal she can attain. She can see if she likes it. Because if that doesn't work, we need to know.
Yeah.
And so she used it today. I kind of made sure that I would know. I wrote a little note that was like, hey, I hope you have a great day at school. You know, take a deep breath. I'll be at home to help with any homework you've got. Love, Dad. And I put it in her planner. And sure enough, around like 1 o'clock, she's like, Dad, I got your note. Thank you. And I was like, all right. She opened her planner.
Yeah.
Right? She's doing her thing. But the other end of that has to be when she's at home, we can't micromanage her. We can't do that.
No, if something's due tomorrow and she hasn't touched it.
Then she hasn't touched it.
Yeah. She might stay up all night and do it. Yeah. Or she might just not do it.
But she has to be allowed the opportunity to do it her way.
Yeah. Well, and the opportunity to fail. Because if like she kept failing, turning stuff in, something else is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And yeah, so that's kind of the goal. We're just going to figure it out.
Awesome.
And I mean, honestly, like worst case scenario, she fails a class, she takes a summer class, like honestly, big deal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the way education's going in our country now, I mean, my God.
Dude, compared to other countries
or states, Florida. Did you see what just happened? They have that district where they're banning all these books.
Oh.
Well, the problem is that the people that they had in place to be this committee to ban these books, well, all those people quit.
Oh.
And so yesterday they banned the dictionary.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one, Merriam or Webster's?
I think it's all like
just all the dictionaries.
Like, I'll have to pull it up. I saw the like news story.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like,
our country is one of the worst ranked like in the world for education.
And we're one of the wealthiest countries.
And we're doing nothing about it. We're just like, no kid left behind, so let's make everyone fall behind. And
yeah, a Florida district declined new dictionary donations as it navigates a new book law that restricts race theory and like gender issues. So having the word gay or transgender, they decided the dictionary was too woke.
Wow.
And used the word woke when they said that the dictionary was using too much slang as actual words. But that's how the dictionary works. Like, I remember being excited when you're in school because they had added the word rad to the dictionary.
I was excited when they added muggle.
And the other one that made me so happy was ain't.
Ain't.
Because when I was a kid, you're told, yeah, ain't a word.
And ain't supposed to say it, right? Yeah.
And then it came out of the dictionary.
And you're like, fuck you.
Done.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So that's our school year's resolution. Hmm. Do you have a school year's resolution?
I mean, she's 4.
Yeah. So probably what, like coloring in the lines?
Less arguing.
Okay.
Just less arguing.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a PSA about this for. It's for wives, for husbands, for kids, all of you. All of you. Because I realized as I was saying this to my daughter, and after it came out of my mouth, that I say it to my husband all the time. And I was like, holy fucking shit, you're a little Steve. You're just the little mini version of him. So she, like, everything I say, like, buckle. You already told me to buckle. You don't have to tell me again.
But she's not buckled.
No, right? No. Can I have this when I get home? No, why? Like, everything's just like...
Why don't you throw it back here? So you already had it. Why do you want it again?
I mean, I could. It goes on forever.
I would argue. I would love to argue with Finley.
You should, because
she won't
never
talk to
end.
Me. She'll never talk to me. She'll like come and just stare at me. She won't talk.
It's true.
I think she thinks I'm a robot. She's trying to figure me out.
She is. She's scoping you out. So I told her, Finley... Can you just say okay, Mom? Once in a while. Just fucking say okay. Just once in a while.
I had this talk with Aubrey like last month. Like, look, when your mom tells you to do something, just say okay, Mom.
Yeah, I tell my husband this too. I say, can you just say okay once in a while? Like, and it's not that he's argumentative, except, I mean, he is pretty argumentative.
Only when it comes to facts.
And life. But sometimes he'll just like ask, well, why do we need to do this now? We don't need to do it now. I want to do it now. Okay. No, just say, can you do this? Just say sure. Just once in a while. Just say sure. And if you guys did this for your husbands or your wives or even your kids, like just even if it doesn't make sense why they're doing it now, what they're doing, if it doesn't fucking matter, just say, okay, it would go so far. Like I would probably kill over dead if either of them just said okay and went along with something that didn't make sense to them.
Hey, women, this is the men now talking. This is the men. Hey guys, go poop. I know it's going to be like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Go do your thing. Okay, ladies, if there's something that you would like to do and it is urgent in your mind,
mm-hmm.
and it is not necessary to be done, and you need to tell your husband or get them on board,
mm-hmm.
we ask this one simple thing.
What?
Hey, babe. I was wondering if we could do this today instead of later, and this is the reason. Would that be okay?
But why do we have to give a reason?
Why do we have to just shut up and be like, okay?
It's not every time. You don't have to shut up every time, because I've learned to wait on things. There's things I want. Like, we have a date night Friday. I want to plan that shit yesterday. I will wait till Friday and say, what do you want to do, babe? Because I'm trying so hard to not be that person all the time. So I ask in return that once in a while, so why they just say okay.
Why don't you just plan the night?
Even Aubrey, even your kid. If you said, go do the dishes, even if it wasn't her night, said okay.
Here's the difference. When I ask Aubrey to do something that's not like a required chore, if it's like do your chores, it's not like, oh, my dearest daughter, would you please come forth and finish your chores before the master of the home arrives and grounds your ass. If there's something I want her to do that is not part of her job description, It's always a favor. It is never a, hey, will you do this? It is always, hey, Aubrey, can you do me a favor? I'm really sorry if you're in the middle of something, but can you help me? I have never gotten a bad reaction. Even when it was a mess that she made, hey, Aubrey, can you do me a favor real quick and clean up your jelly mess? It'll take you 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. But I don't get any talk back because it's, will you do me a favor?
Yeah, you make it more about you instead of like,
I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you. Mm-hmm. Right? And it'll take you like 2 minutes. I really appreciate it. If I came to you and you were in your room doing whatever and I said, hey, Jen, can you do me a favor real quick? I just need help like unloading the dishwasher. If you could do the silverware, I'll do the dishes. It'll take us like 2 minutes if we do it together. Would you come help?
Yes.
You can't say no and you can't be a dick. We'll role play this.
Sucker. Hold on. Let me think okay, of a real scenario.
I've been working on my Rick and Morty impression.
Oh,
Morty.
Dear.
Hey, Morty. Hey, get your ass in here, Morty. Oh, man, Rick. Morty, you dumb son of a bitch, Morty. All right.
What was something?
I'll set the scene, okay? I will set the scene.
Okay.
I am out in the garage.
Okay.
Working on whatever bullshit. And you are inside. You have just done the dishes. You have just vacuumed. Finley's down for a nap. You're getting ready to chill.
Okay.
You're getting ready to chill. I noticed I forgot groceries in the back of the car.
Okay.
I'm on a ladder right next to the car. I call you real quick, say, hey, I'm up on the ladder. Can you do me a quick favor? Like real quick, it'll take you to I think I left groceries in the back of the car. Can you come grab them, bring them in?
Yeah, I'd say yes.
You'd say yes. But if you said, can I do it later?
Can I do it later?
I'd really appreciate it if you could help now, but if it has to be later, then later a worker, I'll take care of it.
That's such a good comeback.
Right, you can't. And the thing is it's like you avoid 90% of the aggression by just approaching it without, like, it's kind of like approaching it with the solution before the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's like spreading the gasoline before the spiders infest your house. You know, it's like,
it's kind of a acceptance of either like answer.
I haven't read the book, like How to Win Friends and Influence People, but I guarantee you that stuff's in there. Cause this is stuff that I've just learned just like at work, right? Cause we work with people that we can't stand and we've got to somehow get them to do the shit they need to do.
Yeah.
And so we learn how to be that. Hey, Thomas, are you in the middle of that spreadsheet that's due in like 20 minutes? Can you come help me real quick? I was wondering, oh, you don't mind? Oh, you're free? Oh, okay. Right? Like, well, maybe you should work on that spreadsheet. Like, we learn how to influence people at work because we work with adults and adults are just children that have money.
Yeah.
If you approach your problems with the solution first instead of maybe there'll be a problem, you're like trying. I know what you're wanting. You're wanting that
occasional compliance is what I'm wanting.
You will do what I say.
Because we'll I am happy. Sometimes like even this afternoon, I picked up Finley from school. Mm-hmm. I took her to the library, got her new books. I warmed up dinner while Steve did do a repair on the house.
Hang on.
I know the repairs are worth so much more than everything I've done.
Because you listed these things where if it was Steve, he would say, I had to replace this entire beam. I had to reroute the HVAC. Jen took Finley to get some books. Right?
Maybe. But it did take 10 minutes.
You've diminished his work, but made your work important. Meanwhile, his work, he'd be like, I did all this like fucking man shit, and you just got books.
I'm not trying to diminish his work.
This is great because I can be Steve and we can fight, and then he doesn't have to be here for that.
It's good. Like, we both did stuff is my point.
Okay.
My point is we both did stuff.
We both have a point.
So after
this, is this like that Key and Peele skit where they're like, and I said, bitch, because you stopped to listen for Steve. Yeah. All right.
So I'm like, I've worked all day. I've gotten 12,000 steps. Like, I'm ready to sit down now. And he's like, come check out this pressure washer that I got on KSL so that you can learn how to use it. And in my mind, I'm like, fucking no, thank you. Like, I just wanna. But you know what I said? Okay. And I went out and I did it.
Okay.
And I was nice about it.
Right.
So do I have to do that every time? No.
But here's the thing.
But sometimes it's nice.
Here's the thing. Here's the problem. The problem is that when you did it, when you did the okay, in your head, you already went, all right, so this is a point for me in this column because I did what I want him to do to me.
That's
I did
true.
To him.
That is true.
So next time this comes up, I'm going to remember this. And I'm going to point out, no, you remember the fucking pressure washer back in like 2022? I said, okay. All right? Like, you can't, if he had approached you and said, hey, this thing's fucking awesome. This thing's so cool. Do you have a second? Can I like geek out?
Yeah,
for
that
a second?
Sounds way more exciting.
Right?
Yes.
It's all about
communication.
So you're
saying we're both wrong.
It's all I'll about communication. Well, if you think about it, like, because I want Mikkel to come look at the dumb shit I do out in the shop. Like, in the Toyota, we have the center console armrest is that leather that just like bakes in the sun and like
cracks. And yeah.
So I'm making one out of wood for the Toyota. Like, I ripped the Toyota all apart and I did my measurements.
Oh, man.
And so I was super excited to get her to come out and look because I had like put racing stripes. So it's like two different types of wood. And right now it just looks like a piece of shit. It's just like a boxy piece of shit. But I wanted her to be excited with me.
Yeah.
Right? And if I said, hey, I've got a piece of shit looking box that I'm going to put in the armrest, she'd be like,
why?
Maybe she'll. Yeah. But instead I said, hey, I got bougie as hell on this thing. You should come see what I did.
Yeah.
I've sold
Even it. If it looked like shit, I'd be like, he's excited, so I'm excited.
Right? But we do this. We have to do this with our kids. We have to sell.
It's true.
Right? We have to sell the chores. We have to sell the dentist. We have to sell. Why can't we do?
Like, I need to be a better salesman.
Like,
you're
wanting your relation to be to the point where, like, we've colonized Mars and we're communicating telepathically.
Yes.
You never have to have a conversation ever again. And you both just do what the other person wants all the time. But that sucks. That fucking sucks.
Right? It does sometimes, because sometimes I don't want to put off planning things.
Right.
But I do
so
a
don't.
Lot. But I try it because.
But
what if. We're fighting.
We are fighting. This is our first fight. So the putting off things because you want to plan it, you want to be excited. Remember my date night thing with Aubrey and how, like, I set up a thing with date night. I planned the dates, figured out the next month they do.
Yes.
But Aubrey never planned. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I was upset. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because I told you.
Yeah,
because Mikkel had a plan. I was like, you know what? If none of them fucking do it this month, I'm canceling it. I'm done. That's the wrong approach. I had to change my approach with Aubrey.
Yeah.
Aubrey's not going to remember.
And, oh, yeah, ADD.
Right? And she's not. Well, and she's
and
also
she's
not going to look it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Fuck me for feeling that way. That was the wrong way for me to feel. Instead, I've now approached it like yesterday, right? The month's almost over. Mm-hmm. I could have been like, she doesn't fucking care about
me.
She
hates me.
She hates me. Instead, I said, hey, Aubrey, the month's almost over. We haven't done our date night. What are we going to do? We should plan something fun.
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't know. And I said, why don't you take me axe throwing? Because you've gone. I've never been. She goes, oh, okay, that'd be really fun. And I said, and then you can pick lunch and let's just go do it Saturday. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Sometimes people need you to take the lead. And you might take the lead 90% of the time, but that's why your relationship works.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And if me taking the lead with Aubrey is what makes those date nights happen and those memories happen, at least it's getting done.
Yeah.
But I've just, right, like people are going to forget. And just because it's important to me doesn't mean it's important to you.
Yeah.
So back to the topic, school year's resolution. School shouldn't be a combat experience. School should be a collaborative. It should be figuring out the best way for our kids to learn. We need to understand our kids are at school almost as long as we're at work, and then they have required homework. When we come home from work, we just veg out.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It is bullshit. So understand your kids, they're just adults that haven't grown up yet. They need to be shown that you don't have to work the way everyone thinks you have to work.
Yeah.
So going to really try to set Aubrey up for success and really figure out what works.
Yeah.
And honestly, if that means pulling all-nighters the night before projects are due, that's what I did in school. All my art projects, my big art projects that were like, you need to do 40 hours on this. That'd be like a 16-hour just all in one go.
Yeah, I feel like parents take a lot of that on as like, I have to get this done. And no, you don't have to do anything.
No.
It's hard. It's hard to step back. But no, really,
all you really need
it's
to
not
do
your grade.
Is just be there to help when they need it.
Yeah.
And more importantly, be able to recognize when they need the help.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the other thing I'm going to work on is seeing those signs
mm-hmm.
of frustration. Because I think if you can head those off at the pass.
Yeah.
Get rid of that frustration, then it becomes more of a collaborative thing. And I think school should be collaborative.
Yeah.
But
if they need help, they should feel comfortable getting it.
Yeah. So I'm going to post the link to this Twitter thread. This guy, I've read a bunch of his other, he writes books. So he writes like these long Twitter threads between sessions with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like so incredibly insightful. Like I read them and I go, fuck, like, yeah, that's me. That's ADD. That's
nice.
And it feels good to like, I don't know, get confirmation that I'm not just crazy.
Yeah.
But so yeah, so I'll post a link in the show notes down below, wherever you're looking. I think that's it. That was a long episode.
Yeah. Lots of stuff.
Hope you enjoyed. If not, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us any concerns, comments, questions, topic suggestions to
hello@unqualifiedparenting.com.
Like, subscribe, tell a friend.
Yes, tell your friends.
All your friends.
Tell them. Follow us on Instagram @unqualifiedparenting. See you next month.
We're kind of bad at this right now.
We took a summer off. It's fine. We'll get back in the groove. You have survived another fortnight of parenting.
Unqualified Parenting is written, produced, edited, and hosted by Jennifer Jones and Cody Reese, with special thanks to our families and listeners for making each episode possible.